Hello again, and welcome. Again, I'm Reverend Crystal Muldrow. Welcome today. It's so good to have you here. I want to start this talk off with a story that I happened upon about a surprised mother who, while walking into her son's bedroom, was surprised to hear and see him crying, wailing. And the concerned mother said, "Oh my God, sweetheart, why are you crying?" He goes, "Because I have to tie my shoes." And the mother became bewildered. And she said, "Honey, you just learned how to tie your shoes. Is it really that hard? Is it?" And he goes, "No." "Well, why are you crying, sweetheart?" "Because I have to do it every day now." Oh, innocence when it goes goodbye. When you realize and you're overwhelmed by the subtleties of life, like having to tie your shoes every day. And I think about the overwhelm as we in this nation, in this world, have been on an overwhelm for a long time. And as we were all either in our homes walking or looking at the walks that happened yesterday, or if we sat in our homes and wondered what the big deal was, I think we all are on overwhelm. I believe that's what this whole election was really all about, is how in overwhelm we are. And I tend to wonder if the overwhelm is because we're not adjusted as a society, or is it that we're overwhelmed because we are so maladjusted? And I'm here to say, as I contemplated, is it the rush of trying to be adjusted, that kind of that push to be adjusted, or the fact that I, as a person living in a society that's maladjusted, I'm here to say, as the name of the talk is, I am proud to be maladjusted.
Amen.
Amen. I am proud to be maladjusted. Now, of course, this kind of happened. If any of you are really into MLK, Martin Luther King, this started last week as I was trying to figure out which aspect I wanted to talk about Martin Luther King. And this talk of his, proud to be maladjusted, kept coming through, and I decided not to do it, and it still kept coming. And I was like, what is it about this that gets to me? And it was that. It's that I agree with it. I am proud to be maladjusted. And I'll tell you why in the words of Martin Luther King Jr. In his speech, he said, modern psychology has a word that is probably used more than any other word in modern psychology. It is the word maladjusted. Now note, this was a talk in, I believe it was 1967. This word is the ringing cry to modern child psychology. Certainly, we all want to avoid the maladjusted life. But I say to you, my friends, there are certain things in our world to which I am proud to be maladjusted. I say very honestly that I never intend to become adjusted to segregation and discrimination. I never intend to become adjusted to religious bigotry. I never intend to adjust myself to economic conditions that will take necessities from the many to give luxuries to the few.
Amen.
I never intend to adjust myself to the madness of militarism and to the self-defeating effects of physical violence.
Amen.
And I too stand here saying that I can't adjust to that. Not in the world and not within myself. Because part of this was taking a deep dive into looking into myself, looking at the negative maladjusted within myself, and seeing where I divide myself from others, what prejudice I hold within myself, whether consciously or non-consciously, The places and the spaces that are maladjusted within me, I am proud to be against that within myself and be maladjusted within this world to move forward against any of it. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite quotes is from Cornel West, who writes, "Greatness is telling the truth and being courageous in pursuit of justice. The worst thing you could tell young people is to be successful, but become well-adjusted to an unjust status quo, as opposed to being great and being maladjusted to an unjust status quo." Many of us are struggling now because we are trying to stay in the status quo. And I'm glad to be maladjusted to the status quo that we are living in day to day on the earth and at times within myself and within yourself. I say let us move forward to reach to greatness instead of trying to strive to be in the status quo of the bigotry, of the fear, of the angst and the tension, and continue to wrap ourselves around that. I stand strong with Martin Luther King, who said, "I am convinced now that there is need for a new organization in our world." He deemed it the International Association for the Adjustment of Creative Maladjustment. Men and women who will be as maladjusted as the prophet Amos, who in the midst of the injustices of the day could cry out in words that echoed across the centuries, "Let justice roll down like waters of righteousness, like a mighty stream." Ladies and gentlemen, like Dr. Martin Luther King said, it is time to be maladjusted. And it's time to follow in pursuit of so many other maladjusted great people. And I say that truly, Martin Luther King Jr. was a great maladjusted person and leader. I say that Gandhi was a wonderful, creative, maladjusted leader. Today we have Thich Nhat Hanh, who I believe is a great, maladjusted leader. We have, Dalai Lama. I love the Dalai Lama, and he keeps slipping my mind. The great Dalai Lama is creatively maladjusted. And of course, one of the best maladjusted people that we talk about. I bet you can guess who I'm about to say next.
Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, he's kind of maladjusted, yeah. Yes, for those of you who kind of muttered the word Jesus, yes. Yes, Jesus was gloriously maladjusted because all of his teachings was about getting out of this world. What is the saying? He lived in the world, but was not of the world. That is what he taught his disciples. That is what he was moving around through everyone. That yes, we live in this world, but as spiritual beings, we are not of the world as it is made and as we continue to make it today. He was truly maladjusted to the things that we're still fighting for. I mean, Jesus. It's amazing that the things that Jesus spoke against, we're still speaking against now. The dangers and the angst, we're still working with now. The government and the issues of the government, we're still working with now. I mean, when Jesus was working with the Sadducees and the Pharisees, those were the leaderships of the Jewish people that he was working against because they were they were working with the letter of the law and not with the people. He was working with the Roman governments that were working for the letter of the law and of the world and of possessions, not of the Spirit. Because it's when we work within the Spirit that we move beyond the discontent that we're feeling now. And we open our hearts and open our minds, and our minds and our heart start marrying together to form a perfect union where we can live in grace and love and joy and get beyond the maladjusted conditions that we're in now to move forward to be happy in an adjusted situation. But until this world moves there, I am proud to say I am maladjusted. Because I will not adjust myself to the world today. I'm proud to be maladjusted, to continue to walk against the bigotry, the prejudice, to stand up against anything that is not of the light and love of God. I'm proud to say that I am against it. I was looking at this Helen Keller quote, and I was like, huh, how can I work this in, because I love this. But since I had such a long pregnant pause, I guess I'll say it. No pessimist ever discovered the secret of the stars or sailed to an uncharted land or opened a new doorway for the human spirit. I think that's a beautiful segue to say that these aren't words about being a pessimist. Being maladjusted isn't being a pessimist. It's saying that I'm looking forward. I am optimistic about where this world can go and where it will go with our love, with our help. And by saying no, I refuse to live in the world as it is right now. We've had enough. Thousands and thousands of years we continue to fight. We continue to evolve. It seems like, and then come back to the same spot. Isn't it time now we continue to evolve and be and do what Jesus spoke to us and taught us? Not no longer be fearful of the fact that God dwells within each and every one of us, that we are the Christ, the divine idea, and that our hands, our face, our feet, our bodies were created for action, for positive action, to create within our lives, within this world, heaven, not just a piece of heaven. Are we not sick of living and having a piece of heaven every once in a while? I like to have a continuous slice of heaven. Call me greedy, but I like to have the cake and eat it too. I like to have a pie. I had to like to have a bakery of heaven and not get fat, not gain any weight. To have that slice of heaven shed off any excess weight, that's really what it does. It sheds off the weight of the heaviness of the world. It makes us lighter. And as humans, I believe that we can do this. I know that we can do this. By transforming humanity and our humanness and realizing the divinity within our humanness is the only way to do it. As I was thinking about this, a fable came to mind, and I'm going to ask John because the name just will not, I get tongue-tied. So who has, remembers the story of the lion and Androcles. Does anyone remember the story or the fable of the lion and Androcles? As I was going, and the 9 o'clock, I just decided to ask for help. So I bet you, once I give you the abridged crystal version of it, you'll remember the story. So there was once a slave back in the Greek days, or was it Roman? It was Greek, that escaped. And as he was running through and moving through, he sought shelter in a cave. And he thought he was safe as he went into the cave, and he soon realized that he was not alone in the cave. For with him in that cave was a lion. And as he looked, he got scared, and he started withdrawing from the lion. And he didn't know where to go, so he just went backwards until he could go back no more. And of course, the lion kept moving closer and closer to him. And Dracula said, oh, man, okay, I'm dead. And he gave into it. And as the lion came closer, and Dracula could see that there was a tear coming down the lion's eyes. And the lion came to him and stuck out his huge paw to Androcles. Now, this guy was brave, because Androcles actually came towards it to look at it. And he found and saw that the paw was red and swollen. And then right in the middle of it was a thorn. And then it came to him, yeah, I guess the lion was kind of limping a little bit. And so Androcles took the paw and ever so gently and ever so lovingly took the thorn out of the paw. Well, the lion looked and stood up and came to Androcles even closer. And Androcles was like, okay, oh my God, that was my good deed, but I'm gone. And instead of eating him, the lion licked his face and went on his merry little way. Well, Androcles was glad and said, woo, thought he had gotten out of that. And he moved forward to live his life. He became a Christian. And one day he was captured by the Greek soldiers because he was a Christian. He was tortured, he was abused, and told to say he wasn't a Christian anymore, and he refused. Each and every time there was nothing he could do, he would not refuse, he would not grant them what they wanted to say that he was not a Christian. So what was the punishment for this? It was death. It was death by being eaten by a lion. Not again. Oy vey. And so there was nothing he could do. He was captive again. He was enslaved. And so his captors took him to the arena. They released him into till the open space. And he was scared. He prayed. And all of a sudden, the gate that stood between he and the lion opened up. And then a lion charged out. It charged right for him. And of course, there was no place to go, so he just gave in. And the lion came to him. He came right to the face. Lo and behold, thank you, Erica. Lo and behold, it's the same lion that he had taken the thorn out of its paw and remembered. The mighty lion remembered. In many ways, that mighty paw from a mighty lion is us in our maladjusted lives. In the lives where there's injustice that continues to get infected and swell. There's a thorn that keeps us down and not being the lion of greatness that holds us back. It's when we become courageous, when we decide to take the thorn not only out of our own paw, i.e. our own life, and to know that we can also take the thorn out of this world, will it be the only time that we are free. We can do this. God is everywhere within us. The divine idea of God, Christ, is us, and we are the activity, the executor of the Holy Spirit. We are it. It is up to us to realize that, to do that, to make a greater world, to make our lives greater. The other thing is to open up to the divine, just like Jesus taught us. To know that he called God Abba. Whether you think of God as feminine or masculine, we teach it's both, it's neither. God just is. God is loving, which is what Jesus taught. God is all love. To trust in that and to pray to that loving God, to open up to that loving God. And when you do, when you open yourself up to that loving God, when you're afraid of the thorns that are within your life, when you're afraid of everything that is getting you down and you're overwhelmed, go to God. And you know what God is going to tell you? It's all right. And surprise yourself. Say, what? Surprise yourself. Yes. Surprise yourself. Open yourself up and surprise yourself by grasping onto the fact that you are the beloved and that you are here to create greatness. Surprise yourself by moving out, by using God's will, God's guidance to create a better world. Anytime you're afraid, allow God to come within and guide you and direct you and surprise you. Surprise you and let you know that no matter the fact that we are living in this world, we are not of the world. None of us are of this world. Some of us laugh. You don't know some of the people I know, Reverend Crystal. I know some people. And I still say, none of us are supposed to be of this world. We are all spiritual beings. And we're supposed to be living a spiritual life. Not enslaved and overwhelmed by the thorns that are within our lives that become ailments, become infections. It's time to release and let go. And one of the steps is to be maladjusted, creatively maladjusted to the things and the isms, and to know that we don't have to be stuck there anymore. We don't have to. We choose not to be stuck there anymore. If each and every one of us say, I'm not going to be stuck there anymore, and I'm going to open myself up to the greatness of God, open myself up to the beauty of God, open myself up to be used thoroughly, be the conduit, be God in motion, God in action to create greatness in my life and in this world. Oh my God, what a beautiful world this would be. Like, isn't that a song? What a beautiful world this would be. Just came up. But wouldn't it be? Oh my God, what are we afraid of? Sometimes we're afraid of thinking about a beautiful world. I know when I was young and ignorant. Are you guys chuckling because I'm still a little ignorant? I can be. I'm still young. Thank you. Nice cleanup, John. Good John, Reverend John. He said, you're still young. That's why we were chuckling, because I'm still young. Now I've lost my train of thought.
When you were ignorant.
When I was ignorant and young, yeah. I used to think. Thank you, Beth. You're reading my mind now. I used to think that what a boring world it would be if it was just all good and peace and yada-da-da-da-da-da. Isn't life worth fighting for? Isn't we supposed to get out and have some challenges to move beyond that and to fight for greatness and to, wouldn't it just be boring to have a boring, dull, peaceful life? Well, now that I'm in my 50s, yes. Love you too. I'm thinking, no, peace is not boring. Not at all. And the vision of being proud of getting out of the abnormal aspects of this world and moving forward and creating peace and evolving and creating more and more greatness, because greatness is infinite. I realized what a lack consciousness I was at in my youth. Greatness is infinite. There is no ceiling to greatness. It is infinite. The only ceiling there is our minds. So let us continue to be proud, to be maladjusted to this world as it is, and move forward to a world where we can be proud to be adjusted to, and then to be proud to say, I'm adjusted to this great life. Until then, I'll continue to move forward, walking and moving forward, no longer to be maladjusted. It's interesting, I was kind of debating, should I say this, but as in part of my closing, I will say this for Donald Trump. One of the things I like about Donald Trump is that he's shaking it up. In many ways, our government does need a shake up. I don't know if he is the one. I don't know which direction he's going to go, but I appreciate the fact that he's wanting to shake it up and break it apart. This world needs to have that. Again, I'm not pro or con at this point in time. I'm just saying one of the things I can grab a hold of that I can say I kind of like about him is that he is maladjusted enough to... to want or move towards change.
Amen to that.
Whether it's the... quote unquote correct change or not, I don't know, but at least he's going forward to the change. Let us take a lesson from that and from him. Let us move forward to wanting change, positive change. Let us move forward to create something different than what we have before, something different than what we are existing in right now. Let us stand together. All maladjusted, proud to be, and move forward in consciousness, in mind and body, to creating a world that we can all be proud to live in. A world of peace, love, and joy, a place where we look at one another, and even though they look different, they came from a different place, they have a different religion, that we all, each and every one of us, look at one another, appreciate the things that are alike, and learn and appreciate the things that are different about each and every one of us. Let's move forward to an adjusted life. God bless you. And so, as you go through this week, as you stand forward being proud to be maladjusted or struggling with anything, here's an affirmation. Let us say the affirmation together. I am God-centered, filled with the wisdom and understanding that flows from the solid, unchanging core of love within me. Amen. Namaste.